Good morning and welcome again to Mornings for the Master, heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea. I'm your Thursday host. I want to thank you for joining me. Hope you'll stick around for the next hour or so as we spend time in God's Word. And on our Thursday programs, we have been studying now the book of Daniel. We are today going to be looking at chapter 2. If you happen to have missed our earlier look at the chapter at this book of Daniel, you can go to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website, and there you can pick up our previous lessons and also any other program that you may have missed. Daniel chapter 2 is one of the pivotal moments of the Old Testament. For there we read of that kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Daniel is an amazing individual that we can learn so much from. Now here in chapter 2, we read about Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's interpretation of that dream. Nebuchadnezzar challenges his magicians, his sorcerers, and so forth to tell him both the dream and its interpretation, yet they are unable. Now let's go to the chapter now. We'll begin with chapter 2 and verse 1. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." Then the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such thing of a magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason the king was angry and furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Now what we find about to take place is that God is going to reveal the secret of the dream to Daniel in a night vision. Now we see this beginning in verse 14. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand." Daniel approaches the king and explains that God has made known to him both the dream and its interpretation, beginning in verse 24. Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king, and said thus to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me, because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But but for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. So at this point, Daniel proceeds to tell the dream to Nebuchadnezzar and gives the interpretation of the dream to an astonished Nebuchadnezzar. We begin in verse 31. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together, and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, the kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. The king had seen a great image. He saw an image with a head of gold, with chest and arms of silver, with belly and thigh of bronze, with legs of iron, and feet mixed with iron and clay. And the great image was destroyed by a small stone made without hands. The image was representative of the rise and fall of four world empires. The stone representing a kingdom that God would set up. The king praises God and exalts Daniel along with his three friends. Now there are certainly two important thoughts that are expressed in Daniel chapter 2. One of those is that God is the revealer of secrets. Verse 19 said, "Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision." So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Verse 22 said, "He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him." Verse 28, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to you, King Nebuchadnezzar, what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be." The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." God can make known the future and bring it to pass. Verse 28, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be." Now, go back to verse 21. And notice the recognition of who God is. "And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. But the greatest interest to us, I believe, is found in the kingdom that is mentioned in verse 44. "Indeed, in my opinion, the most pivotal verse of the entire Old Testament. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. A kingdom which the God of heaven himself shall set up. A kingdom that will never be destroyed. A kingdom that will consume other kingdoms and stand forever. Now, several questions would arise concerning this kingdom. When would God set it up? Has it been set up as prophesied? Because if it has, then it shall never be destroyed. Where is it now? What is the future of that kingdom? Can we be a part of this indestructible kingdom? So, in our time today, let's consider some of these questions. First, let's consider when this kingdom would be set up. Notice the preparations made for this indestructible kingdom. First off, it is to be in the days of these kings. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel describes the image as depicting four kingdoms which would rise and fall. Undoubtedly, the first one is Babylon. Notice verse 37. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And whereas wherever the children of men dwell, or the beast of the field and the birds of the air, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. So, we know that we have Babylon as the starting point. And when we look at world history, we can see the succession of kingdoms that would follow. The Medo-Persian Empire is represented by the chest and arms of silver. The Grecian Empire represented by the belly and thighs of bronze. And the Roman Empire represented by the legs of iron with feet mixed with iron and clay. And because of that, then one could look for the establishment of this indestructible kingdom in the days of the Roman Empire. The date of timing, of course, would be when the time is fulfilled. Now notice what John the Baptist began preaching during the days of the Roman Empire. He would preach that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus proclaimed this same thing He would say, the time is fulfilled for this kingdom to come. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. What time exactly was fulfilled? What Jesus was talking about when he said the time was fulfilled is the time that was described by Daniel. So the indestructible kingdom was to be set up in the days of the Roman Empire. During the Roman Empire, both John and Jesus anticipated its establishment. This leads to our next question. Has it been set up as foretold? So now let's look at the question of, has that indestructible kingdom been established? Now, during Jesus' earthly ministry, we find that the kingdom was at hand. It was near, it was close, but not yet. And this is what both John and Jesus both preached. Now again, let's look at the verses we noticed just a second ago. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now notice verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now let's go back to Matthew's account in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 also. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yet after Jesus' death, there were those who were still waiting for the kingdom. One like Joseph of Arimathea. Notice Luke chapter 23, verses 50 and 51. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself, notice, was also waiting for the kingdom of God. But now we're going to notice a change after our Lord Jesus had ascended to heaven. Now Jesus is far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. For we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now all has been made subject to him. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22, we read, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him, of course concerning Jesus there. Jesus is the ruler over the kings of the earth. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And it is Jesus who rules the nations with a rod of iron. Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. And he who overcomes and keeps my work until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. He truly has all authority in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now this is important because this helps to affirm some of the things that we will read later in Daniel that are more challenging to understand. Consider chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, in light of some of the verses we just read. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall never be destroyed. Notice he said, where one like the Son of Man approaches the Ancient of Days, of course, the Ancient of Days being the Father. And this one, like the Son of Man, given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that would never be destroyed. Now put that in thought then with what we read at the ascension of Christ in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 and how well they fit together. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Daniel here describes the ascension of Christ from a heavenly perspective, and Luke describes it in Acts chapter 1 from the earthly perspective. But what is clear is that King Jesus has received a kingdom, and that the indestructible kingdom was set up when he returned to heaven. Now, we need, though, to consider the question, where is it now? And we can find the answer to that. Let's consider now the indestructible nature of this kingdom. We need to remember that it was described by Daniel as a stone cut without hands, which became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now back in Daniel 2, let's go back now to verse 34. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Without hands, suggests that this is not your ordinary kingdom. Also, this kingdom would start small and then grow larger. Now remember what Jesus taught about the nature of his kingdom, that his kingdom was not of this world. John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." In Romans 14 and verse 17 it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." It would start small and grow to encompass the earth. Notice Matthew 13, beginning in verse 31. "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." This indestructible kingdom would start small, and it would be spiritual in nature, not physical. So what we see is that we find that this kingdom involves those in the church. We find that the Christians in Colossae were in the kingdom. Notice Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness," and now notice, "and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." We also find those at Thessalonica were also in this kingdom. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 12. "That you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." We find those in the seven churches in Asia were a part of the kingdom. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. "And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." The truth is that all Christians receive their part in this indestructible kingdom. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." So that includes the Christian today. And that helps in fulfilling that statement then that the kingdom would fill the whole earth. For look where we are. At least in our part of the world, we're completely on the other side of the world from Jerusalem where it began. Yet, the fact that we could be a part of this kingdom was foretold by Daniel long before those events. For whoever is willing to repent and believe in the gospel, as we read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, can be a part of the kingdom Jesus established. The one he established when he sat down at the right hand of God following his ascension to heaven. And one that we can be a part of in events that would begin in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. So this takes us then to the question of what is the future of this kingdom? This kingdom that will never be destroyed. It will last forever. As Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar in verse 44, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Notice, a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, a kingdom that will stand forever. And as we noted a while ago, and the Hebrew writer said, a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Recall what the angel Gabriel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33, when he told her this kingdom wouldn't have no end. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." At Christ's coming, it will be delivered to the Father. This was taught by Paul to the church at Corinth. Notice 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 20. "But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one according in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." When Jesus Christ comes again, he will deliver the kingdom to God the Father. He will have put an end to all rule, authority, and power. Until then, Jesus Christ will reign until all enemies are placed under his feet, and the last enemy is death. We need to recall the teaching of Jesus in the parable of the tares. Notice Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 40. "Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. At the end of the age, his angels will gather out of the kingdom those that offend and those that practice lawlessness. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And so as we begin to put things together for today, for as we think of this kingdom was foretold by Daniel. It was proclaimed by John the Baptist and Jesus himself. It began in the days of the Roman Empire with Jesus the Christ as its king and his disciples as its citizens. It is an indestructible kingdom. It is one that continues on and it is ever growing. And the hope and expectation of it is a glorious future in eternity. But we've got to consider the last question. Can we be a part of this indestructible kingdom? And the answer is resoundingly yes. For Jesus and his apostles tell us how to be a part of that kingdom. We must be born again of water and the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Of course, baptism is what is commanded of penitent believers. Matthew 28 in verse 19 in the Great Commission, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Mark chapter 16 in verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Acts chapter 2, verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, "Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." But we must beware, because some in the kingdom may one day be cast out of the kingdom. Jesus warned about this in the parable of the tares. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 through 43, we read, "The Son of Man will cast out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." It tells us of the necessity of an enduring faith to be a part of this kingdom. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give unto you the crown of life." Therefore, after we have been obedient to the gospel and became Christians, we must act in the proper way. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18 say, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. We must remain diligent in our faith if we desire to experience the future glories of the kingdom that shall never be destroyed. I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed our time together today and that you've benefited from it. I've certainly benefited from your presence. And if the Lord wills, we'll continue our study in the book of Daniel next week as we examine chapter 3. I hope that you'll join me. Remember to tune in again tomorrow for another edition of Mornings for the Master, with your host tomorrow being Brother Chip Horton. Again, remember this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or two. Again, if the Lord wills, I'll see you next week at this same time. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a wonderful day.